Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from God who calls us to be of good courage. Amen. When has Jesus shown up in your life? When I reflect on God's activity in my life, I tend to think about just that, God. God's activity, God's presence, God's love, God's grace, God's creation. This is due in large part to my own formation. Years spent in the wilderness in Montana and the Boundary Waters, pushed out of my comfort zone and confronted with the realities of wind, rain, and fire. I learned about how God worked in my life through these wilderness experiences, through the discomfort and struggle and uncertainty, through God's abiding presence and peace through all things. As we've read and wrestled through the book of Acts this summer, we've also lifted up the work of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that calls and gathers and sends us out to share the good news with the world. And every once in a while, a story in the Bible brings us face to face with Jesus, with God's love incarnate in the world, with the risen one who brings light and life to all. The story we just heard in Acts is one of these stories. Paul is on his way back to Jerusalem after traveling to Macedonia, Thessalonica, Corinth, and Ephesus. Everywhere he goes, Paul preaches of Jesus' death and resurrection and promised return. Under the Spirit's guidance and inspiration, Paul has plans to return to Jerusalem and later go on to Rome. He is warned of the suffering and challenge that he'll face in Jerusalem, and he too is aware of the persecution that awaits. But Paul continues to be a witness and share the good news of Jesus' resurrection with confidence and bold trust. Shortly after Paul arrives in Jerusalem, he is seized by a crowd that tries to beat him to death. The Roman military step in and bring Paul to safety in Roman custody. While in custody, Paul stands before a council of Jerusalem's high-ranking Jewish leaders and describes what he sees as the issue, the hope of the resurrection of the dead. Now, there's a lot going on in this scene, and we can't possibly unpack all of it this morning, but it's worth noting here that there was a disagreement among those who sat on this council about the question of resurrection. As seminary professor Matt Skinner explains, the council divides over the question of resurrection because teachings associated with the Pharisees, a growing lay movement within Judaism, affirmed the reality of life after death, while the Sadducees, a largely aristocratic group affiliated with the Jerusalem temple and chief priests, denied it. Paul is not trying to defend himself here. Rather, in naming the issue, he makes a theological claim about God's work in and through Jesus Christ. The same God of Israel has raised Jesus from the dead and will one day raise all from the dead. Even here in custody, Paul continues to be a witness to God's saving power of resurrection for all people. Well, the scene disrupts into chaos. The Pharisees and Sadducees argue over the question of resurrection, each making their case with little hope of mutual understanding or the changing of hearts and minds. Once again, Roman soldiers step in, and before Paul is torn to pieces, they take him back to the barracks. And it's there, in the silence and loneliness of a prison cell, that Jesus shows up. Somehow sneaking through the locked door and reminding us that no matter how often human beings attempt to set up boundaries or borders or walls, God will always find a way around them. Keep up your courage, Jesus says. For just as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must bear witness also in Rome. Keep up your courage. I'm struck by these words of compassion and peace. The Greek verb here, tharseo, means to be of good courage, to be confident and hopeful or emboldened from within. Jesus speaks this good word a few times throughout the Gospels, always spoken to those facing difficult circumstances, a hemorrhaging woman, a paralyzed man, and blind Bartimaeus, all people who are struggling and likely living in fear and anxiety over what the future holds for them. Jesus heals all these people, but before he does so, he commands them to take heart, or as he says to Paul, keep up your courage. It's striking that Jesus says this to these different people in the midst of their circumstances, whether that be their health, fear, or imprisonment. He makes no promise that their situation will change, although that will happen for some, but rather Jesus promises to show up and helps them to discover the courage within themselves to face whatever lies ahead. Jesus' presence in the prison cell with Paul and his words of assurance and hope serve to bolster Paul's witness, to give him courage in the face of fear, and to anchor him in Christ's promise of presence through both the joys and challenges of his life, and especially as Paul continues to share the good news in Jerusalem and beyond. Jesus reminds Paul of his freedom, that despite Paul's imprisonment, God will not abandon him. In fact, perhaps Paul's witness will become more important, for it's always into life's struggles, disappointments, and challenges that the good news of Christ's resurrection takes on new meaning. The gospel is a living word, an incarnate word that lives within our hearts, that allows us to persist and withstand when all things suggest the opposite. It is Christ's presence embodied within us that guides us in our suffering, encourages us in our fear, supports us in our uncertainty. It is this incarnate word that helps us to hear these words from the people in our own lives too. Take heart, keep up your courage. So where does Jesus show up in your life? Where does Jesus show up offering this word of reassurance and peace? When have you faced life's difficult circumstances and suddenly discovered Jesus at your side, speaking these words of good courage and reminding you of God's promise to be with you through all things, at the bedside of a dying loved one, in the midst of your battle with addiction, and advocating care for immigrants seeking refuge, after hearing a difficult diagnosis that will change your life, and hearing the struggle of a child who has just come out to family and friends, as you navigate a new job or new living situation, in the frenzy of the back-to-school season, through all of this, Jesus promises to accompany us and give us good courage. There's a wonderful prayer we say from time to time at Mount Olivet during worship. It's a part of the evening prayer liturgy in our hymnals. I call it the Good Courage Prayer, and it's one of my favorites. I'm not entirely certain of this prayer's origins. From some Googling, I discovered it's often attributed to Eric Milner White, an Anglican priest, although that is disputed. Regardless, it's a beautiful prayer, and I'd like to close with it this morning, and we're going to say it together. So you have to pull out your cranberry hymnal to page 317 at the bottom, and then I'll give you more instructions. I have memories of singing a version of this prayer up at Wilderness Canoe Base, a Lutheran camp at the end of the Gunflint Trail where I worked as a summer canoe guide, a place where I needed a lot of good courage to face the uncertainty and unpredictability of life on trail. Perhaps you need some good courage too. So the prayer is on 317. It's not the very bottom one. It's the one just above it that starts, "O God, you have called." So we will say it together. Let us pray. O God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And thanks be to God. Amen.